Hello?
Hello.
Hello? Hello?
Hello. My guess is that the conference hasn't started yet.
No. My name is Jason.
Ah, Jason, I know you. This is Lee.
Pardon
I
me?
believe I know you. I believe I know you at any rate. From Claude's group.
Yeah. Which one?
Ah, I'm thinking of somebody else, actually. I'm sorry. A senior moment. I'm thinking about James.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, the similarity of your name. But anyway, as well as your voice.
Right. And this was who? I didn't catch your name. Sorry.
Lee.
Ray. Ray. Where are you from?
Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. I'm calling from Canada.
Oh my gosh. What kind
Yeah. There's even standards up
weather?
here.
What's that?
I say there's even standards up here.
What kind of weather you all got up there?
It's been nice for the most part. We're expecting rain tonight and all day tomorrow, I think. About down that way?
We finally have a respite from the rain.
Oh, yeah.
And
Hello, everybody. This is Chris. How are you? Hello, Chris.
Oh, Chris.
We're going to be starting here in a few minutes. We're waiting. I think Lisa's going to be joining us tonight too, and then we're just going to wait maybe about 9:32, 9:33 to Eastern time to get a few more people a chance to get on the call, and then we'll go ahead and get started. So I'm gonna put myself on hold real quick. I'll be right back.
Okay, Chris. So you'll be getting lots of rain, Ray.
And finally got also gotten warm. It was close to 80 today.
Okay. That's not
But
so bad, eh?
no, not at all.
Dry things up a little.
Yep.
Hey Chris, Lisa's on.
Hey Chris, hey Lisa, it's Wernicke. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hi,
I think
Wernicke.
Chris is on.
Hi, Lisa. Yeah, I was on mute because I'm multitasking here. Sorry.
We're
I need
all
to make this.
multitasking, I think, tonight.
Yeah. I need more arms and legs to juggle more stuff. So we're gonna wait just another minute or two and get more people. I see more people are logging in, so we'll be patient and give them another minute.
Hey guys, Cecilia here.
Hello and welcome.
Hi.
Hey Chris, hey Lisa, it's Ryan.
Hey Ryan.
Hey, how are you?
Not so bad. Not so bad. How about yourself?
Doing well. Just getting home from work. It's a late night, so.
Oh, yeah. I hear you.
Yeah, for those of you who can't make it consistently, we're making every effort to post the recording of the conference call on the praisereports.org website. Yeah, and if you just watch the post on the prayer wall, on RMM prayer wall, we post the information for that. So just stay tuned.
Thanks.
Perfect.
For that.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay. Yeah. All right, we're at 9:33. I guess we're going to go and get started. I don't think Sophia is going to join us tonight. I know Lisa's here, but she's also multitasking, so I'm going to go ahead and get started with whoever we have here tonight. So welcome, everybody. I'm just going to go ahead and start with a prayer, and then I'll go ahead and do the usual that we always do. If everyone would join me, bowing your hearts and our hearts to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, Father. We come, Father, with an open heart. All of us who are here on the conference call, we come in with an open heart, Father, and we come with our hands and our arms open to you, Father, expecting you to come join us and hear our conversations, hear the hearts, the cry of our hearts, Father, as we are calling out to you, Father, because that's what you want. You want us to be dependent upon you, to call out to you for every little thing. Because, Father, you want that, you want and you cherish that relationship that you have with each of us individually. So not only corporately tonight, but individually when we're not on the conference calls and we're alone. But, Father, we're never alone because we have you with us. So, Father, we ask that you would come join us in our conference call tonight, speak to us and through us, minister to our hearts through your Holy Spirit. I know that there are going to be many on this call who will have questions, will have concerns. I know that there are some on this call who, Father, are coming with troubled hearts, heavy hearts, fear, worries, concerns, some doubt and trepidation. Father, but we come before you, Father, laying everything at your feet, knowing, Father, that you are worthy to be praised and you are worthy to be trusted. Because you are a God. And Father, forgive us for our shortcomings. Forgive us for our unbelief at times, our doubts at times. We know that through Jesus Christ, he makes intercession for us and he's compassionate to understand our weaknesses. And we thank you for that because through him, because of him and through him, we know that you understand our situation. And as we are struggling, Father, to get a footing on the relationship with you, on what you're doing with us and our marriages and our lives and our families, that you are faithful. When we're faithless, you are faithful. And we know, Father, that no matter how much we might make mistakes, we might do things that out of weaknesses, Father, that we know that we can always come to you and repent of our sins and ask for forgiveness and ask for mercy and grace, and we will always receive it. So we thank you for that, Father, for being patient and long-suffering with us as we try to stand for this very hard thing that we're standing for. And for I think for almost all of us, this is the hardest, the most difficult thing that we've ever had to do in our lives. So, Father, we thank you for never leaving us, never forsaking us. And, Father, we thank you for being the light in the path to our feet, giving us a roadmap to walk, a map through your Bible, through your Word, to walk and feel our way through. So, Father, we ask that as we have this conference call tonight, be with us, join us, and give us the comfort that the Holy Spirit can give us. Only the Holy Spirit can give us, because we all need it. We all need you every single minute of the day, no matter how strong we are in the faith or our walk with you. None of us can live 1 minute without you and the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we thank you for hearing our request and our prayer to come join us. And we are looking forward to you giving us your wisdom and your discernment. That can only be from you, because everything else is well, it's man's wisdom. We know that it fails. So we thank you, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm going to do some housekeeping as I usually do. We make every effort to post the recording of this conference call on the website for other people who are not able to make it. So as we go through this Q&A process, we request that you don't have to mention your name. You don't just speak up whenever you need to. Try to not mention your spouse's name because that will make it easier for everyone, including yourself, for us to post it so others can benefit from this conference call. Okay, and then also if you're not speaking and you're not asking any questions, I'm going to ask you, just put yourself on mute because without realizing it, the phone's going to pick up all that background noise, and it does resonate through the conference call, and we do hear it, the rest of us do. So if you're not asking a question, please mute yourself, and I think that's pretty much everything. Do we have any new callers, first-time callers? Just say here, yes, something. For those of you who are new, SOS is just something that three of us started to do, standing on scripture, SOS conference calls. Our only affiliation with RMM, the ministry and the prayer wall, is that we're standers just like you. We don't work for them. We support them in every way that you are. We're like you, standing for our marriages, but we realize that, there's a need for connection more than just, posting on a website. So Lisa had the Holy Spirit speak to her and say, let's do conference calls. She contacted Sophie and myself. We said yes, and I think we've been doing weekly conference calls for maybe 3 months now. So praise the Lord, we have a lot of good stuff. I have some exciting news for everyone who's listening in. We may have a restored couple come on in the next 1 to 3 weeks who are agreeing to join us for an hour of Q&A, and I'm going to tell you their names. Cheryl Scruggs. Cheryl and Jeff Scruggs, and if you know who they are, you know who they are. If you don't know who they are, you can go onto YouTube or on the internet, look up Jeff and Cheryl Scruggs. Their marriage has been restored. They have a ministry that they help married couples now to restore their marriages, somewhat similar to RMM. They put out a book. Both of them wrote their own sides. I read the book. It's posted on the praisereports.org website. Remarkable stories. They have a lot of YouTube videos where they've been interviewed by various media. And so they've been gracious enough to talk to us about doing a conference call with us. So if I could ask everyone to keep that in prayer so God brings that to fruition and we can schedule the next few weeks, we'll keep you posted. But God's doing some great things with us. And you know what? This is the body of Christ. I get sometimes so excited that in the body of Christ we could see those who have been restored, God uses them to then turn around and help others like me, like you, us, who are standing for our marriages to help walk us through this season in our lives by encouraging us, giving us, words of wisdom, share their knowledge, their experiences. So it's remarkable what the Lord is doing with our conference calls, and we give him all the praise and glory. It's all the Lord. So having said all that, tonight's session is going to be Q&A, and I think Lisa said she's going to join us in a few minutes.
I'm here.
So you're here. Okay. So do you want to start with some of your Q&A, and then I could follow up with you with some of mine. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
No, I'll go.
Okay.
So we know we had a couple of restored marriage testimonies on, and there were lots of questions that we already had. So we just thought tonight would be a good opportunity for us to throw out some questions that we know every stander or a lot of standers have at some point in their journey. If you have a question and you want to piggyback off of it, then that's fine. So, Chris, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you a couple of these questions, and I know you can do an incredible job of answering it. And if somebody else has a thought on it, so I'm putting Chris on
the
spot tonight,
quiz.
But that's okay because he's always good. He's ready. And so here's the first question that I wanted to ask, and that one is, how do you handle your fears that your spouse will never come home?
Okay, you're asking me, right, Lisa?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to be as candid and transparent and open as I can. I'm going to tell you, I know you see my posts on there. I know you see a lot of stuff that, you know, that I post and I say. I will tell you there's probably not one day that goes by that I have that I'm not attacked. And I'm using my words carefully, that I am not attacked by those, the spirits of fear trying to get me to submit to the fear. And I'm saying that very, very carefully because those are not my thoughts and ideas. I think that one thing that we fail to do is in our stand, we need to come to the knowledge and the understanding that this is a spiritual warfare. And at some point, we need to realize not everything that comes to our mind are our original thoughts. They are external coming in, attacking us. So when I say, you know, I'm being attacked by fear with the fear of this, the fear of that, that's what they are. Because in my heart, I have a knowing that God's going to do it. I have a knowing that God will restore my marriage. He will restore my wife to me. He will restore my wife, my marriage, my family. He will do that. So what happens? When I get up in the morning and I'm facing that, what happens? Well, I'm being attacked by fear. So the only thing I can do is what I've been taught in the Bible. It's spiritual warfare. Great. How do I fight that? Well, spiritual armor. Belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, shield of faith, and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. Got to crack open that Bible because that's our sword. That's the offensive weapon that we have where we can actually fight back and throw those back at the spirits of fear or doubt or whatever we're being attacked with in that moment. And then the last one is wrapping our feet with the gospel of peace. Those are the weapons of our warfare, Ephesians 6. So what I do, and I deal with that almost on a daily basis. Sometimes it's heavy. Sometimes it's just a couple of passing thoughts. And I, you know, will just, and what I do is I will pray scripture out loud. And I immediately start talking to the Lord, if I can, out loud. And I repeat, and in my prayers and talk and communication with the Lord, I'm repeating scripture back to him, back to the Lord, and those fears disappear. Now, there are times when I'm heavily attacked by doubt and by fear, and fear of this and fear of that. And when I experience the heavier attacks, that's when, you know, I tell my kids, Daddy's going upstairs to the bedroom. I come up here. I close myself into the closet, and I have time with the Lord. And it's going to be on my knees. It's opening my heart. It's sharing all my fears, all my doubts. And if, you know, and then if I'm crying to the Lord, I'm crying to the Lord. But I share everything with the Lord. I had to reach a point where, you know what, man to man, I'm going to open up and share all my feelings, emotions with the Lord, and because He knows me better than I know myself. So I'm not ashamed to come before Him as a man. In my prayer closet, because it's just he and I, and no one can see, no one knows. But I know that he knows that, he sees that, he appreciates that, because at the end of the day, he wants a unique, intimate relationship with each and every one of us. And that's how I deal with that. And sometimes, you know what, those attacks can be a full day or a couple of days. And it's hard for me to work sometimes, but you know what, I work, and then when I feel attacked, I'll break away if I can and go pray, go hang out with the Lord for a little bit as much as I can. But I do whatever I can, that's my go-to. That's my go-to. It's not other people. It's not calling my friends and family. Geez, I need prayer. I'm being attacked. They can't do anything because it's all spiritual. And I have to go to the Lord. So I know it's a long answer. I'm sorry, but that's, I try to be thorough because I think that's really, really important.
Amen. All right. Does anybody else have? Well, before I ask anyone else, Chris, do you have a favorite scripture that you use when you feel that fear? Is there like a favorite scripture of yours or a song?
It depends on the fear. I mean, if it's, you know, this is the way it's going to be, get used to it. This is the way that the rest of your life's going to be. If it's, you know, your wife's never coming back. It depends on the fear because there are many different scriptures. Like, you know, well, you know, what makes you think she wants to come back? Well, God's in control. God's the one who directs the hearts, you know, the kings of the hearts of kings, and he's the one who directs the hearts, and there are scriptures on that. You know, it depends on the fear because there's so many different scriptures that can be, so I really, you know, try to make as specific as I can the scripture to match the fear because there's different kinds. We're attacked with different kinds. You know, what about my finances? What about my job, my income? What about, you know, different things? So it really depends. There are so many promises in the Bible, guys, that literally we could sift through them and we could match those up with each and every single fear, literally. I know it's not a good answer, but there's too many.
I like 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. I like that one. So if I'm starting to fear, I need to get with the love of the Father. Does anyone else have a scripture or a thought on how they conquer fear?
He will keep me in perfect peace if I keep my eyes focused on him.
All right.
I'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I won't fear no evil. For, you know,
Psalm
for
23,
his,
yeah.
Yep. I mean, you know, I could go on.
Best thing to do when you're having fear or having that attack, put on some praise music, worship him in the pain or through anything that's coming to your mind as an attack, because then it confuses the enemy, like, wait a minute, I'm throwing all these darts at you. Why are you praising God right now? He don't want us to do
right.
this. So put on some praise music and sing.
That's the sacrifice of praise, yes.
All right. Okay, so we're gonna ask another question here. Got like several questions here. Okay, here's a good, nice one that we all hear all the time. Should I tell my spouse I love you?
Again, directed at me.
Yes.
This, you know what? This is a little bit of a tricky one, and I'm going to I'm going to tell you what I do, and then I'm going to suggest something to you guys. Where I am right now with my wife, now a year ago, probably would not have been the wisest for me to do this. But where I am right now, maybe not everybody knows, our divorce was final December, and let me rephrase that. The court issued the piece of paper that my wife has been trying to get from the court December 17th of last year. So, well, we're 6 months into it. She moved out almost 2 years ago. She got the piece of paper. We communicate almost every day or every other day. We communicate via text most of the time. She invites me over to her place. I invite her over here. We see each other probably on a weekly basis, just, you know, mostly in passing as we, you know, drop off the girls back and forth. But because of where I am now, you know, I once in a while, depending on the conversation, and if we're on the phone, we're having a good conversation or we're in person together, as, you know, we finish the conversation or as she's leaving, I will just throw out there once in a while, as I feel the Holy Spirit lead me, to say, love you or I love you, in parting. And I do that. And sometimes it messes with her because I'm sure that it confuses her, like, after all that she's done, you know, how can I be the way that I am with her, be so loving and so gentle, so kind, so patient, and still say, I love you, you know, after all that she's done. And I know maybe it's my perception, but I do. So I do, but I'm very careful with that because I want to make sure, number one, that when I say I love you, it's not out of a neediness on my part. Like, I don't need, I'm not saying I love you so you could say you love me back. I tell her I love her because I really do, and I have zero expectation of her reciprocating any kind of gesture or similar, you know, comment. I don't expect anything. I just say I love you, and that's it. Leave it at that. So I'm in a place where I can say that from my heart with zero expectation. It's not from hurt. It's not from pain. It's not from a neediness that she needs to say something back to me. It's just I love you, and I don't care what you say or what you think. That's where I am. That's what how I feel about you, and you don't need to say anything in response. So, but, and I only do that when I really feel the Holy Spirit's pushing in my heart to just say, throw out there, I love you. And it comes out sometimes uncontrollably, like, I love you, period. So, so I do say it, but that's the conditions under which I do it, and I would just ask, you know, guys, let the Holy Spirit lead you. If the Holy Spirit puts in your heart to do it, then do it. Because the Holy Spirit knows it's the right time, the appropriate time for your spouse to hear it. That's my answer.
Okay. Does anybody else have any comments or thoughts on that? I do the same as Chris.
Hi. I have sort of the same mind as Chris. I'm just letting the Holy Spirit guide me, and if the Holy Spirit's prompting me, then I'll say it. That's the only time.
I feel the same way. I also want to add, and I think Chris kind of touched on this, we shouldn't expect to hear I love you back, and we, each of us know where our spouse is in the journey. So you already know if they're going to be receptive. If they're not going to be receptive, you know maybe whether it's better to write a letter or say it or whatever, however God is leading you, directing you. So I would say that your expectations come from God as well.
I have a comment. I have a comment on that.
Sure.
My husband he just remarried on May 25th. He lost his dad on June 1st. And I didn't go to the funeral, but I went to the visitation, but I did leave him a card. And I, you know, wrote some stuff in it, but I left it with, I'm praying for you and just love always. And I felt the Holy Spirit telling me to do it. But now, ever since then, I'm like, should I have done it because he remarried? You know, I don't know if I should have done it now. So,
you are still his wife. I'm gonna jump in here and give you my two cents on that. You are still his wife. You're standing for the marriage and for him because you still are his wife. And what he's doing right now is temporary. But I will refer you to 1 Corinthians 13. What love is. And I think in that chapter, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that in chapter 13 is where we read that there is no law against love. So when we truly love someone unconditionally, there's no law against it. So let me put it in a different way. You can never go wrong by telling your husband or your wife that you love them. You can never go wrong. No one will ever be condemned or convicted for loving someone, especially their spouse. So if you're feeling, you know, second thoughts and doubts, you know, then there is no fear. I think Lisa just mentioned there's no fear in perfect love. So if you feel that the Holy Spirit led you to do that, don't be fearful of showing and demonstrating love towards your husband with the card that you left for him. If you're feeling fear or doubt, that only comes because God did not give us a spirit of fear or doubt. So where is that coming from? Again, That's an external fear and doubt coming from Satan, our enemy, who's coming to now put doubt in your hearts and fear like maybe you screwed up. When would God ever come and tell you, gee, you know what? I think you screwed up and you messed up. You shouldn't have said you loved your spouse. You shouldn't have left that really nice card telling him how you feel that you still love him. Can you envision Jesus coming to you and telling you, excuse me, I think you made a mistake? Because if you can't picture Jesus doing that, then you know it's not Jesus or God. Then you know who it is, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're spot on.
Could I say something else?
Sure.
I notice, the main mode of communication between my wife and I is text, and other modes are blocked, of course, but I noticed the last few times that we've communicated and you know, I just give her, you know, where she gives me bitterness and anger, I meet it with the love of Christ, you know, and it's not exactly me saying I love you, but, you know, they're just words of affirmation and kindness and from a loving and gentle heart, you know, and she really doesn't know how to respond to it. Actually, she doesn't respond to it. I don't know, Chris, you said something about messing with their minds.
They're not going to.
Really,
yes. And you're right. You're right in your assessment. My wife responds sometimes exactly the same way. It's like a deer kind of, you know, a kind of headlights. Keep in mind that I think it's in 2 Timothy 2, either 2 or 17. Our husbands and our wives have been taken captive by the enemy, which is Satan. Their minds have been taken captive. Now, when we read that in the Bible, they just gave in to the lies and deceptions of the enemy. And as you give in to one lie or deception of the enemy, then you find it easier to take another step into another lie and deception. And the next thing you know is you've gone so far down the rabbit hole that you, at some point, again, the prodigal son, the pig pen, at some point they will wake up, the Lord will wake them up, and they'll see, how did I get here? But until they reach that point, the Lord removes the scales from their eyes and opens their hearts to see, they are in a state of confusion. Of all the testimonials that I've read, that I've heard about, every single prodigal husband and wife who has come back has said things very similar to this, where they've been confused. It's like a fog over their brain. They didn't know what they were doing. Many of them don't even remember some of the things, some of the mean and nasty things that they did to their spouses that were standing for their marriages. So a lot of them don't remember that. They'll say, I don't remember saying those things. I don't remember. Some of them will say, yeah, I said those, but I don't know what I was saying because I really was not feeling that in my heart. And many prodigals who come back also say that they never stopped loving their husband or their wife who they've left behind. They've never stopped, but they just, you know, in their state of confusion. So in their state of, if that's their state of mind where they're confused, they're in this cloud, they're not going to know how to process when you're showing them unconditional love, when you're being convicted, when they're being convicted by the Holy Spirit, when you're being gentle and kind, when you're, you know, telling them I love you or doing nice things for them. They're going to have trouble receiving it, and because they don't know how to process that, because they're in that fog, they're in that place of captivity, and what they're experiencing. We probably could reach out to psychology, and it'll tell us that it's a cognitive dissonance where their heart's going in one direction, their mind, their brain is going in a different direction, and they're not sure how to reconcile those two. And some of them will respond in a negative way, where it'll make them even more angry, because the more angry they get, that's the Holy Spirit convicting them, because if the Holy Spirit were not convicting them, they wouldn't feel bad. If they wouldn't be feeling bad, they wouldn't be getting angry. Nobody gets angry about that kind of a situation. If their heart, mind, and soul are perfectly in alignment with what they're doing, and they truly believe that what they're doing is perfectly fine. No prodigal has ever come back and said, I've never had that problem. Every single one that comes back, there is that battle in their mind. We read that in Bob Steinkamp's books as well. He talks about that. And when, by the way, for those of you who read Bob Steinkamp's book on the prodigal's perspective, if you have not read it, you should buy it on the website, RMM's website, and buy it. It's a short read. It's such a fantastic read. It's from his perspective. But if you remember at the beginning of the book, for those of you who read it, at the beginning of the book, he mentions in there, he wrote the book not based on solely his experiences, but after speaking to and talking to many prodigals within their ministry, many prodigals who've returned. So as he's been talking to hundreds of them, he realized, just like what we're doing in this session tonight, there's a lot of parallels between his season and many other prodigals. And that book that we read, The Prodigal's Perspective, is not only Bob's perspective, but the combined perspective of hundreds of others that he's talked to. So, and I've seen exactly the same things from his book with many other testimonials that I've read of restored marriages, those prodigals. So this is all the same stuff. There's nothing new. It's all exactly the same. I know I gave a long answer, but I hope that helps some of you. You got to get the book. You got to read it. But they have a hard time processing that information because they're in that state of mind.
Okay, so well,
I have a question
goes along
for you, Chris.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
Okay. Now that you've said that, is there a difference between a male prodigal and a female prodigal in how they process it? Or are they the same across the board in all aspects?
Where the spiritual warfare is concerned with the prodigal husband or wife, that's going to be pretty identical. Where it comes to the stander, the standing husband or the standing wife, there are going to be some differences. And I'm still working with that, trying to sort out, because I've seen more prodigal restoration testimonials from women than I have from the men. Not that they're not out there, it's just that men are not as open to speak about these things, so they're not as readily available. But I have noticed, though, that there is a difference between the standing husband and the standing wife. And that has to make that's, and the reason for that is because, one, guys are wired differently, number one, and number two, because scripturally, God places the man, the husband, in a different place I guess spirituality, if you want to call it that, a different position than the wife. And because of that, the man, standing husband, has certain duties and responsibilities in a relationship with God, Jesus Christ, as the man, the husband, the father, the, I guess, head of the household, the spiritual leader. So there are differences. That's all I can answer right now, because I'm still trying to figure out and understand more of those. I'm seeing some stuff develop, but I can't give anything more than that right now.
Okay, thanks.
I was also getting ready. I think your question was really good, because I was kind of going to take this conversation in the direction of letting go, because men by nature are designed to pursue. That's kind of how God does it. God pursues us. You all are shaped in his own image, and God is the head of man is the head of the woman. So men are, I feel like, designed to pursue. So sometimes it seems like for a woman, if we are pursuing the man with and we're not, I don't know, if we're saying to them, I love them, or we're doing other things that may seem like we have not let go, texting, calling, especially when we're divorced, if we're doing certain things that the man, that can be a turnoff, and I'm kind of, I would like to get the male's perspective on this. As a woman, I want to be pursued. I want the man. Now, the caveat there is, if I don't, if I'm not interested in you as you know, because I was once the prodigal, so if I'm not interested in you and you're pursuing me, it's going to make me more angry. But I do believe that at some point, your pursuit would break that anger, because that's, you know, God has called men to love their spouse. And I think men are kind of fortunate, because you have a whole book of the Bible devoted to the prodigal spouse, being the prodigal male, which is what, Hosea, I believe? Isn't that Hosea, Chris?
It is Hosea, yeah. And
yeah,
Hosea. Yeah, in Hosea, the Holy Spirit told him, okay, now go get your wife. But, see, the Holy Spirit, because I've thought about that often, at some point, he let her go. He let her go,
yep.
And he just, you know, he let her completely go. He didn't pursue her. He didn't seek after her. But at the point when the Holy Spirit told him, or the Lord told him, go get your wife, when at that point she had already been dumped and sold into slavery by the men that she ran off with, so she was in the pig pen. So when God said, Hosea, go get your wife, he found her in the pig pen being sold into slavery, and she had no money. She was beaten up. She was wearing tattered clothing. She had been used and abused by all the men and then thrown out like yesterday's trash. So at that point, but you're right, Lisa. There is a point for us standing men. With my wife, I'm in a position where my prayer is, Lord, when you tell me, you give me the green light, I will pursue. But until you give me the green light, I cannot. Because for men to pursue their wives who are in this season running away, if you pursue your wife, if the Lord doesn't tell you to pursue your wife, but you're pursuing your wife, you're only going to give her cause and reason to run further and faster away from you. And that oftentimes can lead to restraining orders and all kinds of other nasty stuff that nobody wants. So let her go. Let the Holy Spirit deal with that, because the Holy Spirit can do things that we cannot do, and we don't even understand His power. You know that what He can do in pursuing and convicting. But my prayer now is, Lord, when You're ready, open that door for restoration, reconciliation, because as soon as He gives me an open door, I'm pursuing. But I cannot pursue until God opens that door, because only God knows that moment where she will be, her heart is open and ready to work on the restoration of our marriage. So when I have that and I pursue that, then that's when the restoration begins. And, you know, whether she comes home immediately or after some time of working on, you know, restoration, you know, only God knows. Everyone has a different path. So we'll see how that plays out. But I'm ready. I'm ready. A lot of times I have to hold back. You know, I can't say this, I can't say that until the Holy Spirit leads me. But as soon as God gives me that open door, and I know He will, and I'll know it when I see it, I'll, you know, full steam ahead.
Are you ready, Chris?
Yeah.
You're ready, are you?
I'm ready. I'm ready for God to open that door.
You know,
You want to know how I know I'm ready? I know I'm ready because I'm doing, because God, that's what God wants me to do. Because truly in my heart, and please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Let me be as careful as I can in saying this. When I have reached the point where I say, Lord, You are my everything and You are more than enough, and even if You were never to bring her back home, I have You and I have all that I need. You are all that I need and You are all that I want. But I'm going to continue praying for my wife for our the restoration of my marriage and my family is because you told me you're going to bring her back. You told me this is what you're going to do on numerous occasions, not just with me and the kids, but you've, you know, given me scriptures, give me dreams, you've given me so much that if I were to stop praying for the restoration of my marriage, I would be going against your will. So I'm praying for the restoration of my marriage out of obedience. But even if you were not to do that, I am so satisfied with you right now, and my eyes are so focused on you that I know that you are my life and you are my future, and you will provide for everything that I need, you know, companionship, friendship, everything that I need. You know, you will give me the grace to walk this thing out, even if you were to never bring her back. So for me, I'll tell you, 2 years ago, my prayer to the Lord was, Lord, I know she's first in my life, and I know you're supposed to be first, but unfortunately, I love her more than I love you. Please bring her back because I need her. That was my prayer 2 years ago. You see the big difference between 2 years ago and today?
Yeah.
And I've never shared that with anybody, so you guys are first. But in my heart today, I've said for several months, I've said, Lord, you're everything. Yes, do I have moments where I miss her? Yes, but those are short moments and they're small. And when I spend time with God, he totally fills me up and, you know, gives me all the peace, comfort, you know, everything, assurance that I need, everything. So I tell God now, I'm praying because I know that's what you want. It's not about me. It's about what you want. It's not about me and my marriage. It's about what you want to do in our marriage and through our marriage. So now it's a matter of I'm praying because I'm obeying you. This is what you want. So let your will be done, not mine. That's a big difference.
Amen. And I just want to say I'm so happy my friend Ryan, who's joined us here, has prompted me to join this conference call because I'm learning quite a bit. And it's really sinking in, and I got to give thanks to God for that.
Amen.
Amen.
Love it. Amen. So I'm going to ask one more question, and then if you all have a – so here's the next question. How do I know God wants me to stand? He says such – he, and this is coming from the woman's perspective. It could come from the male's perspective, but – in this particular case, it's coming from the woman's perspective. He says such mean things to me. I don't think God wants me abused. Why would God want me and this person who treats me horrible together? So that's kind of the question there.
Lisa, would you repeat that last part? Repeat that again.
How do I know God wants me to stand? He says such. He, my husband, says such mean things to me. I don't think God wants me abused. Why would God want me and this person who treats me horribly together?
If there's physical abuse, that's probably a different conversation for a different time. Obviously,
no, not physical, just verbal.
Yeah. verbal abuse, you know, I'm sure that we could probably ask some of the men on this call in a prayer wall if they've received verbal abuse from their wives, and I would not be surprised to get an answer of yes. You know, when again, let's put it in perspective. First of all, when our spouses, including our wives or husbands, when they're saying and doing the things that they're doing, it's really our enemy who's speaking through them because they've given room to the enemy. Their minds have been taken captive by the enemy. Many of them, we've all heard this 1,000 times from, you know, from everybody in there who's standing for their marriage and restored marriages all have said the same thing. I don't love you anymore. I made a mistake in marrying you. I'm not coming back again. Bob mentions this in his book as well, Bob Steinkamp. You know, I'm never coming back home, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's the enemy speaking through our spouses. So first of all, let's put that in perspective. If it's our enemy speaking through our spouses and our spouses' minds have been taken captive, then we need to understand that's really not our spouse saying that, it's our enemy speaking through them. So if the more we understand a spiritual battle and how our enemy is operating through our spouses, then we'll begin to understand our spouses and their state of mind and their condition better. And the more we understand their state of mind, their condition, the more sympathy we would have for them, the more compassion we will have for them, and the more sympathy and compassion we have for them, then the more we want to pray for them. Because they're in a place that they are being held prisoners, and they don't want to. And every single prodigal who's come back have all said the place where they were in the pig pen was horrible, was scary. All the prodigal men who come back testify to this, that they were in such a horrible place, such a lonely place, an empty place, a fearful, dark place, a state of confusion. They never, ever, ever want to go back to that place again. And yet, in the midst of all of that that they're going through, here, their husband, their wife, is reaching through all that darkness, their fear, their doubts, reaching through with unconditional love and loving them. Tell me that when the Lord touches their heart and removes the scales off their eyes, and their heart turns from cold stone to flesh, and their eyes are opened, and all of a sudden they see that in all of their pig pen situation, here, that husband or wife loved them unconditionally. Tell me that's not the first person they're going to be running back to as fast as they can. That 10,000 wild horses cannot keep them from running back home to that spouse. That's why we're told repeatedly ad nauseum, always, always, always show and demonstrate love, unconditional love towards your spouse, because that's going to be when God's ready and opens their eyes and turns their hearts, the first place they're going to want to run back to is that spouse who has been showing them nothing but unconditional love throughout the entire season that they've been going through. But on the other side, if we respond evil for evil, when God does turn their hearts, guess what? They come back, and I've mentioned this to a few others, they're going to come back to an empty home. Guess what? The standing husband and wife, no longer there. They've packed up, and they've moved their heart somewhere else. So the prodigal comes back, and no one's home. So we leave the light on. We leave the light on in our marriage. The light at night, we leave it on by demonstrating through words and actions, unconditional love toward them. And more importantly, we pray for them in our private, secret place with the Lord. We're praying for them, spiritual warfare, intercessory prayers, we're praying for them. Charlene says this all the time on her posts. Pray scripture over your spouses because it's spiritual warfare. But if we're not doing that for them, not leaving that light on for them when God brings them back home, they're going to come back home and no one's there. And now the enemy's won, because not only did he turn the prodigal's heart to begin with, but then the one standing, they give up, they quit, they give in, and they move on. Now there's no home to come home to. So the light we leave on is that unconditional love for them.
I know how badly it hurts when you hear those words or read those destructive text messages or emails, and sometimes you're just inundated with them, and it, for a very long time, the pain never quite goes away completely, but something really changed for me when I began praying, God, give me your heart for him. Give me, your eyes to see him as you see him. And God, and I cannot take credit for this whatsoever, because this is not within my human capabilities, but God made a change in my heart such that anytime I see those words in print or hear those things from his mouth, it automatically triggers this cascade of thoughts which start with, wow, for any human being to say that to any other human being must be coming from such a place of pain and hurt and shame that it automatically transforms my feelings from something that would have previously been hurt and pain to empathy. I can't explain it any other way, but God, by praying to be able to see my husband as God sees him, the pain turns instantly to empathy. It's like water washing over the top of the situation, washing through me and cleaning the bad emotions out and replacing it with God's love. And it's never going to be easy to hear those things or to read them, but by really giving that whole process over to God and asking God to sort of carry me through it and give me his heart for the situation, it's become not only manageable, but like a blessing to be able to know how to pray for my spouse, because when those words come through, it triggers me with the ability to target my prayers towards the pain he must be in at that moment.
That's
yeah, very
good.
I think that's true. That's true.
Really, really good.
I have definitely been there. And I praise the Lord that they're fewer and far between now, but I know where you're coming from. And yes, it's only by the Spirit in me, the Holy Spirit in me, that I can resist defending myself or just being completely frustrated or just hurt and not go to that place of, like you said, it is truly empathy. It's not just compassion. It comes from a place where you begin to feel your pain for them, you know, and hurt for them instead of become angry back. That's great. I mean, it's great that you're in that place. That's what I'm saying. It's not great, but you know.
One thing I want to add is that we have to be careful to take the focus off of what our spouse is doing and really put the focus back on us and what God, because this journey is about you and your relationship with God. So I have to say, God, what is it in me that you're trying to purge? What is it, what character trait? And just this week alone, God showed me that I still had this self-righteous attitude. And all I had, and when I got convicted of it through his word, I immediately repented, and I felt that spirit of self-righteousness break off of me. So, you know, we, and this is one of Chris's, this is actually one of your points, and I'm going to let you, that you wanted to talk about this evening, and that is covering our spouse and not broadcasting mm-hmm. their sin. Instead of, you know, yeah, they're angry, they're hurt, and we're thinking, well, they're the one that's doing X, Y, Z. But the enemy got a hold of them and deceived their mind to, you know, but there was also something that was within us. And because we, and I'm going to say this for the women and then the men can, Chris, you, I know you'll speak for the men, but because we are the women and God typically, we're the heart of the home. So God has to, he gets to the heart of matter. Just like in the Word, he says, I'm going to give you a heart of flesh and take away that stony heart. So God has to work with us. He has to work with us women so that we learn to be subject to Christ and that we take things to God instead of taking them to our spouse. When my husband comes home, if I have a concern or an issue, I don't need to take it to him. I need to take it to God and let God deal with him. Until I get to that place, and I'll tell you right now, I feel like ain't too much more left. Like, but only God knows what else Lisa has to do for her. There was one other question that we were going to ask, because I'm going to give it to you in like 2 minutes, and that is concerning our school-age children. And when we're covering our spouses, we also have to make sure we are covering them in front of our children, that we're not exposing their wrong by saying something like, let's pray for Daddy, he's in sin, or let's pray for Daddy, you know, that the other person will go away, or let's pray for Daddy that he comes to his sin. That's not putting the right frame of mind in your child, and they don't handle it, process that very well. I'm teaching my daughter, and I have to say daughter because I don't have any boys, but I'm teaching my daughter how to have a quiet and gentle spirit. I'm teaching her the importance
of not being disagreeable. That if she feels like there's something that she really wants, then that's something that she has to understand that we are her parents and we basically have rule over her. And if there's something that she knows in her heart, she, at this point in time, you don't argue with us, but you have to submit yourself to authority, and that pleases God. So with that said, Chris, I wanted to let you speak on covering your spouse and not broadcasting their sin to anybody, including our children.
Well, I will piggyback on what you just said, Lisa, is that, and I don't know if it was Charlene or someone else who said, when we're covering our spouse, now there's only so much we can do. Our you know, depending on the age of your kids, our kids will see, they're going to see and they're going to hear what they see and hear, and there's nothing you can do about that. But, you know, we cover, during the covering of our spouses, one thing that we should never allow is for our kids to badmouth the husband or wife who is the prodigal in this season. Because if that, we can't let our kids go down that road. No matter how much pain we might feel, hurt, pain, suffering, loneliness, emptiness, whatever feeling or emotions we're struggling with because of our spouse, we should never allow that as a license to our kids to badmouth the prodigal or a husband or wife who is, you know, gone astray. Because that also is, there's several different reasons for that, but you guys can figure that out. But you can't let them go down that road. You know, that's also covering. That's, you know, if we're praying for our spouses with our kids, then how can we allow our kids to badmouth their spouse, our prodigals, while also praying for them? Those two don't reconcile. So that includes, the covering also includes not letting our kids speak that way about our prodigal husbands or wives. I want to go through just a couple of things real quick. If anyone's taking notes, I'm going to just give some guidelines for standing. Thank you. Okay. The Holy Spirit just put in my heart to say this. Every now and then, we're going to get standers who come and will post and say, I've been standing for X number of years. The week ago, we recently had Deanne give her testimony. And as she shared her testimony, she mentioned that they were finally reconciled after about 15 years. And every time she mentioned a timeline, she said, but don't let that scare you, because there were a lot of things that she did that delayed her restoration, which she freely offers and admits. And I have talked to I've connected with several standers on the prayer wall who have been standing for X number of years. And when I connected with them offline, I'd ask them, you know, what have you been doing during that, you know, 10, 15 years of standing? And some of them will admit and tell me, well, I've done this, I've dated, I've gone, that's not standing. And I don't know if there's anyone on the wall on this call right now, or anyone's going to hear this in a recording posted later, but standing means we're not dating. We're not going out to bars, clubs, hanging out with single people as if we're looking for someone. God knows our hearts. We can't deceive God. We can deceive ourselves, but we won't do it to Him. He knows what's in our heart. Standing means that we're behaving like the husband and wife, waiting for God to do what God has not only promised, but what we are praying for. And if we're not praying for our spouses at all, that's not standing either. So there's a combination of stuff we need to be doing. So I guess my point is this. When we see, do not become disheartened when we see someone posting, I've been standing for X number of years, because I've received emails and posts, and, you know, people have reached out to me saying, you know, I just saw someone's post that they've been standing for X amount of time, and I don't want to wait that long. Nobody does. So here's why I'm going to give you some biblical stuff. God has a specific path for each of us. Doesn't mean God's going to torture us and wait to make us wait 100 years. God's not mean. God's not evil. That's not what God's intent is. God's intent is to get us in line, in relationship with Him, fix certain things in our lives, in our hearts, and then restore our marriage. If I've got a problem with my car, I'm going to take it to the mechanic and say, fix it. Don't call me until it's fixed. Well, he wants to get paid, so he's going to quickly fix it and then call me when it's fixed. He's not going to call me when it's not fixed. Same with our marriages. The quicker we get in alignment with God, submit ourselves and surrender, say, Lord, I can't do it you. I'm surrendering everything to you. And sometimes surrendering is a process. So we pray about that. So we have to pray for God's will to be done in our lives. We have to pray for God to change us first, because that's what God wants. And that cannot be done unless we pursue that relationship with Him. That's what He's after. He wants our hearts. He wants our submission, our surrender. And as soon as we do that, He's working everything out. Because even in Bob's book, he mentions numerous times he has seen and experienced. A prodigal will say, I'm never coming back home in the morning, and by the afternoon is returning home to his wife and saying, I'm sorry, forgive me, let's fix this, how can we make this work? Please take me back. That's how fast God can turn our prodigals' hearts. So the question we need to be asking is, Lord, if He can do it in an instant, in minutes, then what's holding? If I'm standing in the way, if I'm doing something you don't want me to do, show me what it is so I stop. This is my prayer too. If I'm not doing something you want me to do, tell me, because I'm a knucklehead, I'm hard-headed, I don't hear you clearly all the time. Show me, tell me, repeat it over and over again, so I know it's you and this is what you want me to do, so I could obey the thing you want me to do, so then I could move forward, because it's a journey. You got to put one foot in front of the other. That requires change on our part. But if it requires first the relationship, pursuing God, submitting to Him, surrendering, letting Him fix us, and when He's done that, then He's going to restore. Because one, we know He wants to restore. Number two, we know He's capable of doing it. Number three, we know He can do it in a matter of minutes. So then what do we need to do? We need to co-labor with God and work with Him. He's the potter, we're the clay. So don't look to the, we're the potter and the clay. Those of you who know the Bible, you know that from the Bible. He's the potter and we're the clay. The other thing is, don't look to the right or to the left of what other marriages have been restored. And here's the rule of thumb that I follow. I put great emphasis on a restored marriage because God has done it. They've crossed that finish line. So somewhere in their story between the prodigal and the stander, God has worked. And when I look at what the stander did, I see a lot of similarities between one stander whose marriage has been restored and another stander. So I look to them. I don't look for the people who I've been standing for 5 years. I've been standing for 10 years. I don't care. Because if you're still standing, I'll pray for you. But I don't know what you're doing. I don't know your circumstance. I don't know how if you're pursuing God and your relationship with Him. I don't know what you're doing. Not my place to judge. I don't care. So I'm going to take my learning notes from the restored marriage and do what I can to kind of mirror what they're doing. What are you praying about? How are you praying? What are you doing and not doing? I'm wearing my wedding ring. I still am. My wife sees it. We get together, you know, very often, several times a month. She sees it. You know, when I go to her place, I'm there for an hour or two, and we're doing whatever, Memorial Day, 2 weeks ago. She invited me over, and I find out, well, here's a praise report. Just 2 days ago, my children told me, by the way, Daddy, when you came over for Memorial Day to Mommy's house, She's the one who came up with the idea of inviting you, and she's the one who wanted you to come over. Praise the Lord. She wanted me to come over. So when I was there for 2 hours, 2.5 hours or so, my wedding ring, I've never taken it off. Right now, as we're speaking on this conference call, I'm in the closet, in a closet, because my kids are downstairs, and I'm looking at her side of the closet, completely empty, exactly the way she left it, her stuff. I'm doing this because I believe God's going to bring her back, and to do anything different than what I'm doing, for me, in my heart, would be to deny God, tell him he's a liar, I don't believe him. See, because if I believe that he's going to bring her back home, I need to behave from that position of believing him, of truth. Right? If you're going to go on a trip tomorrow, you're going to pack, right? Unless you don't believe you're going on a trip, and you're not going to pack. So same thing. If you believe something is going to happen, you prepare for it. I'm believing my wife's coming back. I'm prepared for it. So there are certain things that we do and don't do during our stand that is universal with all standers. And anything different from that is not exactly standing. Draw closer to God. Go to church. Get involved with ministry in one way or another. Get your kids involved if you have kids at home. Get them involved. Pray with them. Pray with them over your spouse. Don't take the wedding ring off. You know what? Some of you may be led to when I'm out and I have an occasion to speak and refer to my wife. Even with my kids, I'll tell people, yeah, my wife this and my wife that. And, you know, I know she probably hears it every once in a while. It gets back to her, but not one time has she made a comment about it. Not one time has she said anything about me wearing the ring. Not one time has she made a comment about when she comes over to the house, she pulls into her space in the garage, and, you know, she still has the key to the house. She has the code to the garage, the keypad. She has full access. Last weekend she had to come over here. I wasn't at home. She had to come over with one of the kids to pick up some stuff. You know what? They had full access. I said, you know how to get in. Let yourself in, let yourself out. You know, she has full access to the house. I behave as if she's still my wife because in my heart she's still my wife and because God told me she's my wife and God told me he's bringing her back. So I operate from that perspective. And that's how we tell God, I believe you. And that's what we do in standing for our marriage. Anything different from that, well, is it standing? If I'm out dating, is that standing? No, it isn't. If I'm out looking for someone to date, that's not standing. Why would God bring your spouse back if you're in your heart looking for someone else to date or dating someone? Think about that for a second. That's going to bring your spouse back to you whose heart is seeking after somebody else? That doesn't make sense. Okay, so I don't mean to beat you guys over the head, but we have to get real at some point. We have to put our feelings and emotions inside and get real. God is God. What God has said is true. And he means what he says. He means what he says. He has expectations for us and of us as we stand. So either we believe him or we don't. And if we believe him, then let's behave like we do. We have to. Every single restored marriage, the person who was standing for their marriage, you will hear every single one of them say very same similar things that what I just got them saying. Okay, so covering the spouse, here's another thing too. I'm just going to give you like four different bullet points here. Don't argue with your spouse. Seek peace in all situations. God will always give you a peaceful way to deal with situations with your spouse, no matter what they're saying, no matter what they're doing, no matter what the situation is, whether it's child support, whether it's money, finances, whatever it is. If you see them with someone else, that also. Every time that your spouse is saying or doing something that it's negative to you or toward you or your marriage, that's our enemy throwing fiery darts at you. It's a test. Are you going to pass or fail? God's watching. Okay, So in all matters, God blesses those. God blesses the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. We read that in the Bible. Blessed are the peacemakers. Okay, so the other thing is use this time to draw closer to the Lord, and he promises to draw closer to us. If we're not praying for our spouses and spending time with God to grow, and God could change us, we're not standing the way God wants us to stand. If we're not praying for them, and prayers don't have to be perfect. God knows your heart. You know, there's no prerequisites. There's no right way. God knows you. Just go before God. He just wants to hear from you. And he promises he'll draw closer to us. He speaks all the time. Charlene says this all the time. He speaks all the time. If we're not listening, then we're not on the right frequency. We're not spending time in private with him, reading the Bible in prayer, something we're not doing we should be doing. And seek God's counsel, not man's. When we have a fiery dart shot at us, going to the prayer wall to post all the stuff that our spouses are doing disguised as a prayer, not really a prayer. Not really a prayer. We take that to the Lord in prayer. If we need prayer from other people, go ask for prayer without disclosing the exact sin or thing that your spouse is saying or doing. So there's a way to do that the right way without crossing the border of gossip or uncovering our spouse's nakedness. We have to be really careful in how we're doing that. Okay. Again, Charlene and Bob talk about this a lot in their books. Buy one or two of them. They're very inexpensive. And if any of you cannot afford the books because you're tight financially, reach out to me. I'll buy them for you. I've done it before. I'll do it again. Reach out to me. Tell me, hey, Chris, I can't, you know, I don't need to know your finances. Would you help me with these books? And I'm more than happy to buy you, you know, a handful of books so you can read them, because they will help you understand how to properly stand for marriage. And properly standing is according to God's word, guys. It's according to God's word. There's the right way to do it and then not the right way to do it. And there's God has biblical principles for marriage. And when we don't follow those, then we're going to have issues in our marriage, especially in standing. But when we get in alignment with God's principles for marriage, which includes standing for our marriage, then we're co-partnering, co-laboring with God to do what God wants to do and is anxious to do it. We're holding him up. So let's get in alignment with God, understand what he says, what the principles are for standing for a marriage, and get in alignment, do those things, so then we're working with God and bringing our spouses back home, restoring our marriages. Because there's a much bigger picture that God has in store for each of us that's beyond just bringing our spouses back home. It's much bigger than just for us, you know, that I have my wife back or you have your husband back. It's much bigger than that. It's much bigger. But we can't get there if we're still at the, you know, starting gate, fumbling around with what we should be doing in standing for our marriages. Okay, so that's all the bullet points that I've got here is one more thing I want to throw out at and I'm sorry, I'm taking a lot longer and I'm fumbling here. Okay, one last thing. I've heard people say this before. Another lie that the enemy is going to use for the standing husband or wife is that I think I married the wrong person. And if I accept that lie or deceit from our enemy, then I start thinking, well, if I made a mistake in marrying them and now we're on our way to divorce or already divorced, well, because it's a mistake in marrying them to begin with, now I can move on and find someone else and remarry. That's a lie from our enemy. There is no such thing as I married the wrong person, because the moment that you and your husband or wife said I do on your wedding day, as soon as you said I do, that's a marriage that God has brought together and joined together as husband and wife and made you one flesh. In that moment, you are one flesh, made by God, one flesh. That's it. It's over. There are no two perfect people in a marriage. God, I think, enjoys bringing two extremely opposite people together in a marriage, just so he can show himself greater in that marriage. The more we understand God's purpose for marriage, the more that truth will reign in our hearts. Like, it doesn't matter the differences. God wants those so he can work himself in those differences in our marriage. You could read about that in many different books. Sacred Marriage and several other books talk about that. Don't ever think that God brought you the wrong person, you married the wrong person. That's a lie from our enemy. Don't buy into it. Don't buy into it. Okay, I'm done. I'm sorry. I'm long-winded. I apologize. I do get that way sometimes. So, Lisa, I'm giving it back to you. You got it from here.
Okay. All right. In closing tonight, I'm looking at the Rejoice Marriage Ministry prayer wall right now. I wanted to read a testimony that was posted by Joni, and since she posted it with everything, it says, after saying he wanted, after saying he wanted nothing to do with me nor God, he wanted a divorce, was cold, he all of a sudden called me and showed up at the job and church and told me he wanted to come home 1 month together now. Praise God. I think that's beautiful, and it's just touched on what we've been saying tonight. Just what you just got through talking about, Chris. The other thing is there are two other on here that I want to lift them up in prayer tonight. And one lady is saying that she's asking if her husband can divorce her. She lives in Arizona. I live in Arizona, too. If you happen to join the call, reach out. We have a little group that gets together once a month and have lunch. So reach out. he lives in Florida, and people are telling me that he can do that. Anyhow, she's been feeling anxious and sleepless. So we want to lift her up in prayer tonight. And that's Patricia. And then we also have Liz that wants prayer as well regarding, well, she wants prayer as well. And she's, you can all can see it on the share wall here. I won't call out the name of the husband. I'd rather keep him covered. But basically the husband is, you know, showing some behaviors to the children, and it's disheartening. So we want to lift her up. And then we also want to lift up Charlotte, who has the privilege of going in front of hundreds of women to speak. And I want to say whenever we get an opportunity to share what God has, you know, our testimony or just anything concerning God that has an opportunity to draw someone else closer into him, he will be with us. So we're going to lift her up and for her strength on tonight as well. If there's anyone else on the call that has a very specific prayer request, you can let us know. We haven't taken specific prayer requests in a while, but I feel the spirit of prayer right now, so I want to go ahead and pray. And then, Chris, you or any other male on the call, we want to give you men your due right and authority that you can close us out in prayer as well. So is there anybody else that has a very specific prayer request tonight?
I do. But I don't want to say, I don't know how to
name.
Not name, but I don't know how to put it without, because I don't want to speak death either.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Well, if you want, you can, go ahead, I'm sorry.
A lawyer was seen. So I just want to pray over that.
A lawyer what?
A lawyer was seen.
Okay, so he went to see a lawyer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Crystal, I'm going to pray a little bit first, and then I'll let you, as soon as I finish, we're going to tag team tonight, and I'll let you complete it off, and we always thank
before
you,
you do,
for your
Lisa,
time.
Yes. Before you do, hang on. So to the standing wife who just mentioned that prayer request, let me just say to you, this is a fiery dart from the enemy. It doesn't matter what it, if the fiery darts of the enemy could be anything anything and everything. It could be looking for an attorney. It could be filing for separation, for divorce, for whatever. It could be moving out. It could be buying a home. It could be, you know, taking moving to a different county or state. It could be, you know, dating somebody else. It could be remarrying a non-covenant marriage. I think that sometimes we put different levels on the fiery darts are fiery darts, guys. To God, it's all a bunch of, you know, little toothpicks that he blows away into nothing. We make it seem like it's bigger. One thing is bigger than the other. Let me put your heart at ease that to God, it doesn't matter what your spouse does, the gravity of it, because to God, God is sovereign. God is omnipotent. And to him, it's just as easy as snapping his fingers and everything that your husband is doing is dissolved. All the walls come down. All the divisions come down. His heart is turned, and he'll come running back to you as fast as possible. Let me remind you also that when Bob asked Charlene to marry him again the second time, he was engaged to be married to the other woman he was seeing. And he only came up and visited Charlene at her work to tell her to just please stop praying for me because all this bad stuff's happening to me. And within a few hours, they were remarried. So God can take it and turn it around on a dime. So don't get caught up with, oh, you know, and you know what? I know what you're feeling because I was there 2 years ago. I was there 2 years ago when I went through all of that. And I'll tell you on this side of it, we think this is bigger than that thing. No, to God, it's nothing. Okay, so let me leave you with that. Lisa, go ahead. Sorry.
Thank you, Chris.
All right. Father, we stand in the gap tonight for some of our brothers and sisters that you have called to stand for their marriage to be restored. And God, you know all things. We know, God, that you know all things because you said in your word that you know all things. And nothing is impossible for you. We trust you, Father, and we trust your word on tonight that you turn the heart of the king in any direction that you choose. You can harden hearts and soften hearts. Father, we know that you've done it before. We have the testimonies that says you've done it before. And tonight, God, as we stand in the gap for some of our brothers and sisters, we ask, God, that you will give them the comfort of your Holy Spirit. We pray, Father God, that you will give them direction on tonight, God, that you will open up doors that have been closed. Call out their names, Father, before you. You said you know all of our names. You know our spouse name. You know our children's name. You know even the children that haven't been born yet. You know the number of hairs on our head. Father, we praise you because you are our wonderful counselor. We don't need lawyers. We don't need doctors unless they come from you, Father. So we ask tonight, God, that you will direct our path. If you want us to have a lawyer, God, let him or her come from you. If we need a doctor, God, we ask that they will come from you. Let them have a heart for you, Father God. Lord God, we thank you on tonight for your word is true, and it shall not return unto you void. Lord God, we stand together, and you said where two or three are gathered in your name, you would be in the midst. And, Father, I want to lift up every hurting woman, every hurting man on the call tonight, Father, even those that are on Rejoice Marriage Ministry share wall tonight. We lift them up before you, Father, that you will bring comfort to their spirit, that you will bring peace, Father God. Lord God, that you will send someone, God, with a good word for them on tonight, God, that you will speak to their heart, Father, give them comfort in their dreams on tonight, Lord God. We ask, God, that you will break the spirit of hindrance, Father God, and we loose the bands of wickedness, Father, that the enemy will have no more rule and dominion in our lives, in our home, Father. And whatever you're trying to work in and out of us, God, we are an open vessel to you on tonight. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to show us your will. Father God, you opened up our eyes one day to open up our spouse's eyes, Father. Let them see your will. Let them hear your will. We ask that you will pop open their ears on tonight, God, that they will hear your will. But Father God, while we are waiting,
Let us let go so that we don't feel the pain anymore, Jesus. We're asking you, Holy Spirit, that we will set our sights on you, that we will seek you first and your kingdom and your goodness and your glory, that it will fill the atmosphere where we are right now. Lord God, we come against every spirit that is not like you. In Jesus' name, Father God. And I want to lift up on tonight Charlotte, God, as she goes to speak before the women, Father, that you will give her the words to say, that your spirit will be in every word that has come forth out of her mouth. Though it may be the sound of her voice, Lord God, we ask that it will be directed by your Holy Spirit on tonight. Father God, be with her. Give her confidence, Lord God, that she will speak boldly, God, your word, Lord God, that it will not be of hers. And we trust you on tonight that you have given each and every one of us the ministry of reconciliation. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, and we love you with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. We ask that you will pour into Chris on tonight, that you will pour into him, God, as he pours out and gives to others. We ask that you will strengthen him, Father, and we lift up his family before you. We lift up every male on this call, God. We ask, God, that you will give them the spirit that you need. Turn our wives back towards you, Father God, that they will see the error of our ways and come running back to the husband, God, that you gave them, Father. And we say thank you, Lord. We thank you tonight for your spirit. We thank you for your word, and we just say thank you once again for the opportunity to come and to be encouraged. And if there is anyone on this call right now that does not feel your presence, does not feel your encouragement, God, you know where they are, and we call them out to you right now that you will send your Holy Spirit to them. Send them to them. Gift wrap for them. All they have to do is just ask you, help me, Jesus. And you will be there. So I thank you, Father. And at this time, Chris, I give it over to you that you can close us out in any way that you see fit.
Father, we want to thank you for all that you're doing in our hearts, in our lives, in our prodigals' hearts and lives, Father. We want to thank you for the great calling, Father. Father, we thank you for the honor and the privilege of being able to serve you in this great battle for our marriage, this great institution of marriage, this great union of marriage that you have created and given to each of us. We want to thank you, Father, for using this fire, this storm in our lives to grab a hold of our attention and turn our hearts back towards you. Just like you did with Moses when he was in the desert tending the sheep and he saw the burning bush, he turned and looked and marveled. Father, let us turn our hearts and our attention to you to marvel at what you are doing in our lives, in our marriages, in our families, Father, because even though we may not see it clearly now, if we put all of our faith and our trust in you, we know that you have a grand design and a grand purpose for what we're going through, that you will turn our marriages around. You will restore, because we know that that's what you want. Father, give us, Father, as Jesus prayed for Peter, let not our faith fail us, but help us to put all of our faith and our trust in you, Father, to walk with you, to seek your face in your kingdom. And then all these other things will be added unto us, Father. Let us submit ourselves to you, that you are the potter and we're the clay, Father, that we might that we can wake up in the morning thanking you that you've made us holy and righteous and above reproach. Every single morning, Father, we can get up and say, I am complete and I am whole because I have you, Father, and you, Jesus Christ, and you, Holy Spirit, living inside of us each and every day, and that we can wake up in the morning and say, you are more than enough. You are our everything. You are a provider, a comforter, that you provide everything that we need. You will know our needs before we even tell you what our needs are. And Father, we can let us wake up in the morning and just praise you and give you the praise that you deserve, Father, the honor that you deserve, with a heart full of thanksgiving, Father. And that we could say in the morning, every morning, we could say, my cup runneth over. And that nobody owes me anything because I have everything I need from you, Lord, even companionship and friendship, Father, that you will carry us through this, Father. So, Father, I pray that as in accordance with what Lisa said, Father, we pray that you would carry each of these hearts, Father, on that journey that you have laid out for each and every one of us. Give us everything that we need. Help us to come to that knowledge and realization and understanding that you've given us all that we need for this journey, for this storm. And you said we're going to the other side because the restoration of our marriage is on the other side. So, Father, so we can step out of our boat, walk on the waves, Father, with your confidence, your boldness, your power and strength. Father, help us to do that. Help us to be courageous because you've given us everything we need. And above all, Father, help us to really understand and know this battle is already won. If we could just get that to sink into our hearts and our spirit, Father, then this walk and this stand becomes a piece of cake. Because we know, Father, that you've gone before us, you've made a way, and you've already won this battle for us. All we need to do is wait patiently for you. And that no matter what wave, no wind, whatever wind and wave come at us, Father, you've already accounted for that. And you'll help us walk above it. And you'll provide for everything that we need. For every husband, every wife who's standing, who might have financial challenges and troubles, Father, provide for their needs. Whatever they might need, car, transportation, fixing their cars, another job, a better income, whatever they might need, a different place to live. Father, provide for all their needs. And Father, I also pray that you would strengthen and guard each of our hearts and minds against all the fiery darts from the enemy, against all the lies and deceptions from the enemy who is every single day trying to accuse us, trying to deceive us, trying to get us to think less of ourselves. But help us to see ourselves as you see us, Father. Help us to walk in that truth and knowledge that you've already given us the victory over this battle and that you've already done it, that we can stand in that victory, stand in that truth, and not look to the left and the right, but not allow ourselves to be deceived or discouraged in any way, not give room to the enemy in any way, Father. I pray, Father, you would strengthen all of our hearts tonight and those who will listen to this recording later, Father. Help us all, Father, to run the race and run it well. So at the end, Father, you will smile down on us and say, well done, my faithful servant. Well done, my son, my daughter. Here's your husband back. Here's your wife back. Here's your marriage back. Just like you did with Job, you restored double of everything. We thank you for that, Father, because we have the hope and the promise in Hebrews 11:1. Our hope and our promises and our faith is all in you, Lord. Let us be those men and women of faith that we can stand every single day, every single morning, Father, in that. So we look to you, Father. We thank you. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for giving us everything we need, including the victory in this marriage. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
I'm done. All right, amen. Guys, thanks for joining us. God bless you throughout the week, and we'll see you on the prayer wall and back again next Thursday. If you can make it, join us. God bless you.
Amen. God bless.
God bless you. God bless everyone.
God bless.